This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer. Welcome to our time of worship together this morning. Whether you're in your own home or you're on holidays, you are very welcome as you join us as we worship. And my prayer is that wherever you are, you know God's presence with you. We are going to be looking at Honest Conversations, our summer series, and this morning we're looking at Psalm 46. So if you have a Bible at hand or an app on your phone, have that psalm ready in front of you as we explore it in a few moments. In a couple of weeks, we are going to be gathering together, hopefully on the 6th of September, back in one place to worship. That's going to be a great Sunday as we gather in our church building. I'm really excited about it, and the prospect of being able to see you face to face as we worship, recording like this and sitting in front of a screen is not my comfort zone. I have not overly enjoyed it, although I have tried to adjust to what it has required of me over the past couple of months. But really, being face to face is what I'm looking forward to, and I have missed that a lot. So the 6th of September, put it in your diary. We'll confirm that date over the next couple of weeks, but that's the date that we're aiming for. As we look at Psalm 46, let me draw attention to one verse in particular. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." As you are still this morning, sitting in front of this screen, as we pray together, as we sing together, as we turn to God's word and read the Bible together, my prayer is that you would know who God is. As it says in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God."
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for another week in which you've looked after each and every one of us individually, according to our needs at this time. We know, Lord, that this has been a very challenging time for all of us, for a wide range of reasons, and we know, Lord, that you know intimately about every one of our challenges, but also about every one of the opportunities that you give to us. We pray, Lord, for courage during the challenges, whatever they may be, but we also pray, Lord, for courage to take the opportunities that you give us. And we pray, Lord, at this time, individually for wisdom. And we pray for the courage that as we get back into normality, that we will, although we stay safe, that we will still be able to work according to your plans. And we pray, Lord, that your will and our plans are perfectly aligned for every one of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for our church family, and we thank you, Lord, for everyone within it, from the very youngest through the very oldest. And we know, Lord, that you look after every one of us. We also pray as well at this time for all the key workers and those in the NHS who are on the front line who, even though, Lord, we have probably become somewhat sanitised, the news of more people becoming positive with coronavirus and even with the numbers of people sadly passing away, we know, Lord, that the challenges that our key workers face on a daily basis, and we pray, Lord, that you will be with them at this time. We pray, Lord, for our leaders and government, that you give them wisdom. We pray, Lord, that your will be done for us in Malone, Belfast and in Northern Ireland for the rest of this calendar year and beyond as we get back into normal life as we knew it before. In closing, Lord, we just thank you for another week, another Sunday. And we pray, Lord, for the week that lies ahead, that you will be with every one of us individually and every one of us collectively, And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us and the blessings that you bestowed upon us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
Who could have imagined the changes we have experienced over the past 5 months? Changes to how we socialise, shop, study, work and worship. No longer does our jobs, finances, our health feel secure. And sometimes it feels like every day there is a new change brought about by more guidelines. We're only beginning even to see the impact of the social distancing and lockdown measures brought about by COVID-19. Shops, cafes, restaurants and bars are closing in the high street. We have to queue outside before we go into a shop or a cafe. There's limited stock availability sometimes. We often have to book online, so there's little spontaneity and we need to plan ahead before we go to a park or a restaurant. And really, you'd think we'd be able to cope with these changes, considering we live in bodies that are always changing. Every day, 70 billion cells die in our body. A new intestinal tract appears every 3 to 4 days. The kidney cells renew themselves over the course of a year. And within 10 years, our body undergoes an almost complete change, regeneration. But it's unfamiliar, unexpected change that can create fear. Fear about what these changes will mean and how they will affect our lives, even affect our faith. So it's really important that we don't forget what has not changed. And that we remember what is not going to change ever. Psalm 46 begins with the line, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present, unchanging help in times of trouble. An ever-present, constant, unchanging help. That is who God is when we are in trouble. In the Bible, it describes Jesus as the same yesterday, today, and forever. We and the world around us change, but God does not change. And over the past few months, with all these changes, we may or may not have noticed the extent to which we have probably been living then in a state of fear. Fear of contracting COVID-19. Paddy Raff does a really funny sketch about becoming a hand sanitizer connoisseur. As we all fear properly sanitizing our hands before we enter, we leave somewhere. And we're all having a good sniff to kind of work out what it's like and a feel. Is it sticky? Is it wet? Does it dry off easily? Fear of contracting COVID-19. Fear of unknowingly passing on COVID-19 to someone else. Fear of going out of our house. Fear of going into a shop. Fear of crowds. Fear of enclosed spaces. Fear of the financial fallout. Fear of redundancy. Fear of bankruptcy and arrears. Fear of prolonged health complications, delayed treatment. Fear of isolation and increasing loneliness. Add to this, all of this, fears about Brexit and our own personal anxieties and fears that few or any may know about. And we can end up living in a state of constant fear. And that has an effect upon our body, our mind, and on our soul. Now, fear itself is not a bad thing. It is not a sin to fear. Indeed, it's a really healthy emotion when our body warns us that something demands our attention, may be a threat or dangerous. Fear causes us to leave a burning building, to drive carefully and not carelessly, to accept the doctor's medical advice, to put on a seatbelt, to put on a cycling helmet, to stay within the lifeguard flags on the beach. And even the Bible talks about the fear of God. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is such a thing as healthy fear. This fear is from realizing the power of something or accepting the limits of our ability to control situations and realizing that other things have an influence and an impact upon us. We do not have, for example, full control of the natural world. And Psalm 46 describes natural disasters that understandably create fear. Earthquakes, landslides, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis occur. We are naturally fearful. People who live in California or Tokyo or New Zealand have a healthy fear of earthquakes, constructing buildings to withstand the magnitude so that they can respond safely. And also making sure that they practice drills in schools and workplaces so that they can respond safely there too. The natural world presents dangers, whether it's dominant physical presence of a volcano or the microscopic presence of a virus, COVID-19. Psalm 46 also mentions the fear created by instability within nations, whether that's the instability of political leadership or it's the financial markets, crisis within healthcare, terrorist activity, rioting, uncertainty of Brexit, uncertainty of the impact of COVID-19. We live in a state of often political uncertainty within our nations. We live in an uncertain world that's constantly changing, whether it's these natural changes or changes brought about by our actions. However, like any emotion, such as sadness, anger, admiration, fear brought about by change. Fear as an emotion can become unhealthy. And it can actually lead to sin when it becomes pervasive, when it takes over our lives and we have little rest and we are fearful. Our fear becomes unhealthy when it's unfounded, not based on truth or fact, not based on reality, or it's exaggerated and it's an irrational fear. This unhealthy fear can cause us to make really unwise decisions, become unnecessarily resentful, angry, overreact, even attempt to self-medicate. Self-medicate our fears with alcohol or comfort eating, misusing drugs, self-harming, becoming dependent upon another person to cope with the reality of our fears. And as we are fearful, if we are consumed by fear, then there is less room for faith. If we are fearful, where is the room for faith? Where is the room for God? We're living in a state of fear, not a state of faith. Fearful rather than faithful. Perhaps you've noticed over the past few months that it has taken its toll on your faith, and you struggle to feel close to God. You feel unable to sense God's presence in your life, or you're just overwhelmed with questions and doubts. And at times like these, in the times that we are living in, such a response is understandable. And where we can turn to is a psalm like Psalm 46. Because what if faith, not fear, was your default reaction to the things that threaten you or cause you to become anxious? What if you could live a day without faith or fear of failure, rejection or trouble? What if you choose not to fear? Like Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. What if we willed ourselves to not fear? What if, though it seems like your world is falling apart and you have little control over the circumstances of your life and you feel as if your life, as it says in Psalm 46, is falling into the heart of the sea with its huge waves causing devastation? What if you trusted God and chose to not fear? What if you allowed some time to be still, silent in God's presence, to let his voice be heard and allow yourself time to become aware of his presence? Now, as a mum of two young children, I know that can sometimes be really hard, to find the time to be still, for quietness, for silence, especially whenever there's so much disruption in the routine, the kids are not at school, and things are just not maybe as they would normally be, and you just have very little time. You've got a busy house. Even just taking a moment, at the start of the day, at the end of the day, in your garden, sitting down with a cup of coffee at the kitchen table, quietly closing the door and sitting off your bedroom and sitting in the end of your bed. What if you allowed some time to be still, silent in God's presence, and just became aware of the fears? I said to God, I choose not to fear. We will not fear. I will not fear. Psychologists recommend facing fear by stopping, pausing to become aware of our thought process, to realise what we've been thinking and in turn feeling, to allow some time to know what is causing us to fear. And psychologists, especially sports psychologists, they advise the same thing as Psalm 46, which says three times, Selah. Did you notice whenever Pat was reading the word Selah? It's a mysterious Hebrew word that has proven difficult to translate into English, but scholars reckon it was probably a musical instruction to the singers, meaning pause, give time for silence, time for reflection. That's why Pat didn't read Selah in Psalm 46, because it's an instruction to pause. Take a moment before you go on to the next line of the psalm. And in Psalm 46, this little word, Selah, invites us to pause. Consider what God may be saying when something or someone causes us to fear. Because our natural reaction when we fear is to respond quickly. It is to get worked up and to feel restless and agitated. But here, Selah says to pause. Take a moment. After describing how the natural world causes us to fear, Psalm 46 describes God as a refuge and strength, a help in time of trouble. And then it says, Selah. And after describing how nations in which we live cause us to fear, Psalm 46 describes God as a mighty city with a strong, impregnable fortress. And then it says, Selah. And after describing the awesome power and justice of God to end war and bring peace, Psalm 46 says, Selah. Selah is an invitation to take a moment away from this crazy, busy, non-stop life we all tend to live and reflect for a moment and consider God in our lives with all the mystery and all the wonder surrounding God's presence. But it's a moment to invite God's presence to be with us in whatever fears we are facing. And to say to God, God, because of you, we will not fear. Take just a couple of minutes to look at one verse in particular in Psalm 46, and that is verse 10, probably one of the most famous verses in the psalm. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." This command of God to us to be still is from the Hebrew Raphaim, meaning in English, if we were to literally translate it, release, surrender, let go, relax. When we're fearful, we're tense and uptight, agitated, distracted. The complete opposite of Raphaim, stillness. And the best example of Raphaim is found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, in the story of Jesus stilling the storm. It's a story we read in our house on the first Sunday of lockdown. When Jesus and the disciples go out onto Lake Galilee in a boat. But a great wind arose and the waves were so big they began to fill the boat. And all the while Jesus was asleep in the stern. The disciples wake Jesus and they ask, "Don't you care, we're going to die?" And Jesus, being woken by the disciples, stands up and commands the wind and the waves and the storm to be still. And we as a family read this book in the Jesus Storybook Bible, and one line jumped off the page. What Jesus asks the disciples next: "Why were you afraid? Did you forget who I am? Did you believe your fears instead of me?" In our fears, in the midst of fearful times, we can easily take our eyes off God and forget who he is and be distracted by the great wind and the great waves. But like the disciples, we need reminded of who God is. And the disciples had witnessed already who Jesus was. He had healed all kinds of diseases, even healed a leper with a touch, a servant with just a word. Peter had seen his own mother-in-law healed of sickness. They'd seen demons flee at Jesus' command. And they, like us, had forgotten who God is. Psalm 46 is a reminder to us who God is. And we all need, at times, this reminder. Jesus uses the same words for Psalm 46 to command the storm. Jesus says, "Be still." All that energy, noise, and terror and trouble and rage ceased, and there was a great calm. But the Gospels say the disciples feared a great fear. And what they mean is the fear of the storm was morphed into a greater fear of who Jesus really is, whose presence they were in. If we go back to this word, Rephaim, the root of this word is Rapha, meaning medicine or cure or recover. In Deuteronomy, Moses describes people living in the land of Moab called the Rephaim, and they were renowned for their ability to offer medicinal cures and remedies. So when God says in Psalm 46, "Be still," God is saying, "Come and have a cure for your body, mind, and soul in the midst of your fears." God is inviting us to pause. That Selah. Be still and become aware of his awesome, mysterious, comforting presence. Like the calm settled over Lake Galilee, you will allow God's calm to settle over you, stilling your fears. Isn't that what we need and long for in our lives? Filled with anxiety, stress, endless pursuit of success and satisfaction and even wealth. All this striving, why? Because of our fears. Fear of failure. Fear of running out of money. Fear of rejection. Fear of the future. Fear of loneliness. Fear of dying. We all live with fears. And being fearful is tiring. We need God to give us courage and strength and bravery to have a steely calm of God within us. And here God is prescribing for us this remedy for our fears when he says, "Be still, Rephaim." In the stillness we become aware of who God is. God says, "Know that I am God." And suddenly all our fears are put in perspective. All our fears at once seemed great, now seem less so. And giving God this time of pausing every day, or if we are able to, or if it's easier for us at times throughout the day, we allow God in and receive his presence with us. That is what this psalm began with. Verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." So Psalm 46, with its three Selahs, is a timely reminder to ensure we give time to become aware of God's presence, because one of the most common struggles we all face in the Christian life is feeling of God's absence in times of troubles, because we can easily get distracted and let our fears consume us. But let's take the lead from the disciples, who are fantastically honest in their relationship with Jesus. They cut to the chase and they ask, "Don't you care?" Maybe you need to ask God that question and wait and listen for and know the response. In expressing their emotions and acknowledging their doubts honestly, the disciples offer Jesus an invitation to reveal something more of his character. And this is what we all need to see: God's care in action. And we see it best with Jesus on the cross, caring for us and all of creation by redeeming it and saving it, and one day fully restoring it through his resurrection. I pray that as you get into the habit of allowing moments of stillness in your day, you will have stories to tell of the awesome presence of God with you, stilling all your fears, fears in living, fears in dying. Isn't this what the world needs to hear right now from us, the church? God's people sharing who God is in the midst of so much fear. May you know that God is your refuge and strength. May you be reminded today of who Jesus is, his power, his authority. May God's Spirit in us make this happen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a refuge and strength. We thank you for what you forged through your Son Jesus on the cross. We thank you that because of Jesus, we can have a steely calm, a peace that passes understanding. Because of Jesus, we have hope that whatever we face in life, or even the fear of death, that even that, God, can be overcome as we trust in your Son, Jesus. So whatever our fears may be today, we name them to you. We confess them. We acknowledge them. We become aware of them. And we ask God that you would take these fears. We ask God that as the new fears, other fears come about over the course of the next few days and weeks and time, that we might remember Raphaim and be still and know that you are God. So in the midst of whatever fears we're facing right now, may we know that you are God and know, God, that you are with us and that you offer us help. So come and bring your help to us in whatever we're facing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.